crazy day. Happy Tuesday, everyone. A lot going on. I don't know what's going on in the world. Cloud Flare is down, which is apparently something that everyone uses. Twitter, ChatGPT, Citizen Free Press. That's my go-to source. So we are winging it right now. In case you're listening audio only and you want to see the show, you could just head on over to Rumble. We have a great Rumble channel that I probably should do more promotions on. You could find us over at the American Journal with Brianna Morello. It's the green check mark. That's us. Don't, you know, we got a lot of fans out there and I appreciate all the greatness they do, but this is your go-to source for this very show. So head on over there. Make sure you like the show, of course, a lot. And I'm also in the Rumble chat too. I used to do this all the time during our live stream. So if you're in the Rumble chat right now, shout out, say hello. We appreciate you watching, of course. Twitter's down. So that's where we are right now. We're also on band.video as well. But folks, we're going to get ready to kick off the second hour of the program because there's a lot happening right now in regards to Thomas Crooks. As many of you guys know, the FBI, the transparent FBI, I should say, not so transparent, surprise, surprise, new house, new characters, same FBI. I'm not going to tell you a lie. I have been keeping my eye on the story in regards to Thomas Crooks for quite some time, but then I got on my off day. Someone reached out to me on Friday morning. It was a source. He said, "Hey, Brianna, we just gave an exclusive to Tucker Carlson in regards to who Thomas Crooks's social media pages were. Do you want a shot at it too? We're just going to give it to you and Miranda Devine." And so I said, "Heck yeah, we want it. Heck yeah, we do." And so as you see on independentnewsroom.com, that is my free newsletter. It's free. Don't say there's a paywall. There's no paywall. You just type in your email address. It's how I stay in touch with you, of course, in case the world wants to cancel me. But we have this free newsletter where I've posted the screenshots and I'm going to keep dropping more and more as we continue to vet it and work our way through this document that I received. We'll keep posting to there. So that's where you're going to want to be. But we're learning about who Thomas Crooks is. And I'm going to tell you all about the social media accounts that we allege that he was running at the time prior to trying to kill President Trump. And it's very, very interesting because there was one thing that I'm going to outline. We'll do it with Ken Silva as well in regards to the individual who was communicating with Crooks on YouTube. I believe there's a little bit of a dispute with what Tucker Carlson was reporting and what we're now learning. But we're also going to go and do a deep dive into this because the media was telling you, and the FBI was telling you, I should say, that he was a Trump supporter. But they didn't tell you about the drastic shift in his behavior, of course, because that was inconvenient. And prior to the pandemic, he was a Trump supporter, but then he made a drastic turn, pushing for mail-in ballots, criticizing those who use the term deep state, criticizing those who believe that there's election fraud and mail-in ballots, calling Trump, I believe he referred to him as stupid, but don't quote me on that. I have to dig it up. But he was going after him. Most importantly, though, we found this account, this multiple account on this website, and he's going by they, them pronouns on the profile itself. Now, again, because they take down these profiles, apparently once you commit a heinous act, so the government, because it doesn't want transparency, the government quickly sweeps in and tells all these social media pages to take it down. But then they tell us that there's no social media pages. So we're trying our best to vet through a lot of this, but keep in mind, we're going through archives. And that's what we have to work with. So I'll break that down for you guys. Of course, a lot of violence on these social media accounts. It's hard for me to believe that the federal government had no idea who Thomas Crooks was before he got up onto that rooftop and tried shooting at President Trump and hit him in the ear, of course. But, oh, I guess I shouldn't say hit him in the ear if you're Christopher Wray or any of the scumbags of the FBI at the time. But it's just all so infuriating. I've even gotten more video of Crooks. The guy is just a weirdo. In many senses, he is, I don't even know how to describe it. This is just strange. All of it is just quite strange behavior. The videos that I had to look through, weird. We're going to break it all down for you, though, of course. So you're not going to want to go anywhere. We're going to kick off today's second hour of the program with Ken Silva joining me to break down who Thomas Crooks was. And the massive cover-up happening right now over at the FBI as they continue to claim that they are transparent. I'm calling BS on that. But lots to dig into on that front. Make sure you download the app, though. In the meantime, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. In case those cowards lock that front door, that's where we're going to be, over at alexjonesapp.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Olive Ships Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. The internet down, cloud flare is apparently what everyone uses these days, and it's not working out for Twitter, ChatGPT, or my buddies over at Citizen Free Press, but we are streaming live over on Rumble. If you haven't done so already, head on over to the official page. There's a lot of fraudsters out there, but we are on right now over at the American Journal. We are the green check mark, of course. Shout out to everyone right now over in the Rumble chat. I've got my eye on you guys. I've got my eye. So it's great to see you guys, of course. Thank you all for jumping on board and making the last minute change, because it was very, very important, of course, for you all to join us on all of this. And we got a lot going on. Folks, I will be, and we're going to have Ken Silva on in just a few moments, because Ken's got a lot to talk about. He's actually texting me right now. He's like, we've got more to talk about. And I'm excited to have him on to the show in just a few moments. But you may have seen, I was not here on Friday, but I was still working because, of course, the news never stops. And so I got a phone call. It was a very interesting one. It was from a source saying, hey, I've got something I want to send you. We just gave it to Tucker. Tucker ran it first, but we'd like to give you a second crack at it. And long and behold, it was a email that consisted of a lot of very important information in regards to who Thomas Crooks was. Now, for those of you at home who are unfamiliar, Crooks, according to the previous FBI, was supposed to be someone that we that didn't have a social media presence. But the problem is, when you lie about things, you start to create a bit of a curiosity layer. And one person did go out there and do some digging. What did they find? Well, of course, they found that the previous FBI lied to us and that Thomas Crooks was active on social media. In fact, he had several social media platforms that he was engaged in and was making numerous violent threats. Now, if you recall, they tried selling you on this idea that Thomas Crooks was an individual who was a right winger, a Trump supporter. Mind you, this is a guy who tried shooting and killing and assassinating President Donald Trump. They still, with a straight face, told you that. They also told you, Christopher Wray, that they're not really sure if President Trump was hit by a bullet. That happened too. So obviously, we have a new FBI, new characters at the FBI, and so we would expect a different layer of transparency. Well, unfortunately for us, the American people, that doesn't really seem to be happening. Taking place. So what's going on here? Well, Tucker Carlson released some of the content that we now have. A lot of it has to do with YouTube comments, which clearly through a timeline outlined that he was at one point a Trump supporter, but then he quickly shifted over to the left, would be the best way to describe that one. Prior to the COVID pandemic, yes, he was out there threatening to kill Ilhan Omar, send her body back to Somalia. We do see those comments. But then drastic shift. He all of a sudden is a big supporter of those pandemic rules that they were trying to implement. You know, the ones that were taking away your rights. He was referring to people who did not want to comply with the COVID restrictions as people who were just selfish. Those were all in the YouTube discussions and the comments that he was putting out there. He also was also putting out a lot of information in regards to mail-in ballots. He apparently thought it was a myth that mail-in ballots lead to voter fraud. Again, not something that's obviously true, but he was going after Republicans for for it and was saying, you know, that their rebuttal and saying that there is voter fraud is false. He didn't believe it. He also didn't really describe President Trump in the nicest of terms post the pandemic. But the FBI left all of this out. Now we have the evidence. Now we've posted this over at independentnewsroom.com. I've put these screenshots up for all of you, and we're slowly, as I'm going through it all, I'm going to be putting in more and more information. Again, it is a free newsletter that you guys could sign up for. But so I dropped some of these screenshots. And then yesterday I did a follow-up because there's more information that I think is quite relevant in regards to all of this. Now hear me out, okay? We want to talk about this because you may have seen that Miranda Devine also got the same exact source information that I did. And apparently, according to the information that we received, multiple DeviantArt accounts potentially associated with Thomas Crooks. And again, I use that word potentially. Well, apparently those accounts, one of them, which has been operational for 5 years, it looks like, although the birthday is inaccurate, it's still associated with an email account that was associated with Crooks. He goes by they, them pronouns. Interesting, because they left that part out for you, of course. Now, in another account, a secondary account, I outline all of this. The Epic Microwave, which has now been deleted. Again, this is what the FBI does. This is what our government does. Whenever someone commits a heinous attack or terrorist attack, they delete everything. Their whole social media footprint, which obviously creates more curiosity, but also creates more conspiracies because now you want to know what was this person all about. So when you're scrubbing everything, you're doing your very best to create more chaos rather than answers. But they know that. They know that. This individual is posting illustrations, allegedly posting illustrations, which are very clearly violent. There's one of like some illustration where he's shooting. And the title itself said Killing Pedos. It was published on July 16th of 2023. There's another illustration that was published on June 19th, 2023. It's a purple character, again, and it's someone getting hit in the head with an object, which appears to be a pipe, and their head being cracked open, which is obviously very violent. And then there was this. Rod Swanson was one of the aliases that was being used for a PayPal account that was linked to Crooks. Now, again, I can't tell you how it's linked to Crooks. I could just tell you that there was a linkage between that PayPal account and Crooks, possibly using some type of, we'll leave it there. But I mean, there is a direct link between him and this PayPal account. That's the reason why we're bringing it to you. Obviously, Rod Swanson, I know a lot of people were saying, I think it was a character on The Office. But interesting enough, that name also is of a former FBI senior agent, somebody who was responsible for investigating, many of you guys know, that Vegas mass shooting back in 2017. So that is not strange in regards to someone else who's looking to commit a heinous crime, referring to themselves as, or just trying to make a reference to a former law enforcement officer who was handling a case like that. And we know also based on his search history that there was a lot of questionable searches that were being made. And it just keeps going on. So there's a lot of violence with this individual. Now, why would the FBI hide this from you? Again, I'm going to say it. I sat there and endorsed the FBI director, Kash Patel, for his position. I was very excited for this. I would tell y'all, this is cash or nothing. Now, I'm the fool because I can tell you the straight face that cash isn't the guy. We are not getting transparency from the federal government, from the FBI, although he'll sit there and he'll tell you all about it. It's not the case. And I can promise you it's not the case because when Tucker Carlson released his report, if you remember that night, the night before when he announced he was going to be releasing it, the FBI came out with their rapid response Twitter page. And then they gave Tucker Carlson comment on regards to his report as, well, how do you know that these accounts are accurate? Something like that. So they were trying to cast a little bit of speculation, but it's very clear based on the archives, messages that we've seen, the social media posts that we've seen, that this is him. So obviously, when all of us start circling around the FBI saying, we've got this, we've got this, we've got this, what happens? Well, the FBI finally is forced to issue a response. And so Kash Patel comes out and says, all right, he had a couple of social media accounts. You got us. You got us. We've been asking these questions for quite some time. Why is it now you're coming forward and telling us all about this? See, we shouldn't have to be the ones leading the investigation. I shouldn't have to be relying on a source to reach out to me to provide me with details as to what they've obtained. And for some reason, that's what we all have to do now. I bet you if I had to figure out what's going on here right now over at the FBI, if I could just, you know, tinfoil hat on, they're probably doing more research into who is our sources behind all of this than the actual investigation into who Thomas Crooks was. There's a theory I'm floating out there. Time and time again, this is what's going on. The fact that he was able to get into there with a firearm and to get himself onto a roof that was supposed to be secured but wasn't secured, well, surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. Ken Silva is waiting for us in the Zoom room right now, and he's good to go. All right, so Ken Silva's with... Oh, 1 second, guys. Sorry, folks. We have a limited capability right now with me. I'm still on, like, vacay mode, mind. But we'll bring Ken Silva in just a second, because Ken's got a lot to talk about, because we've been going through all of this. I've been sending him what I've got. I've been, Ken, you know, bouncing ideas off each other. And he's been doing a lot of digging into who was communicating specifically with Thomas Crooks on YouTube. It was a very interesting name that was being floated out there. And we're going to have Ken tell you all about it. Ken joins us right now. He's one of the incredible individuals over at Headline USA, one of the great editors over there who has been one of the very few in just the whole journalism spectrum to cover this story through and through. So I'm excited to have him on the show to help put all of this into kind of context for you guys all at home. So Ken, thank you for being here. We're excited to have you on today. All right. So we've been doing the digging. I've been slowly posting up what we've been able to kind of verify as to potentially belonging, these social media posts, potentially in the accounts belonging to Thomas Crooks. But it's a lot to kind of sift through. So based on what you've seen thus far, what have you made about all these social media posts that are coming out now?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I feel a little awkward kind of being the guest on your show, and this is your big scoop. But as you mentioned, I have been covering the Butler shooting pretty much every day since it happened. I was the guy that first released his internet metadata from the community college, and we did that by doing a FOIA request, and the college just sent us a bunch of jumbled up code, which we had to have a tech person decipher for us. And it gave some of the rough outlines of what you've really put meat on, including, like, we found out he had a Discord account, TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat. But again, that was all metadata. We didn't have any of his comments, which is what you've kind of released. So to actually answer your question, I guess the biggest thing that has stood out for me is his just openly violent rhetoric, which tells me that he had to have been on law enforcement's radar. I mean, Tucker Carlson said that when he broke the story on Friday. And, you know, I could just tell you that's 100% true, that the feds, not only feds, but private contractors, it's like a multi-million-dollar industry specifically designed to, you know, find commenters who are making these threats and do threat assessments on them, find out who these people are, and monitor them. And specifically, this was ramped up under the Biden administration after the Discord leaks, where we had that, like, 19-year-old kid in the Air Force National Guard, Jack Teixeira. He leaked a bunch of Ukraine war documents on Discord. And after that, they really upped their partnership with Discord and other platforms to monitor these kind of communities. We even have a GAO report from 2024 saying the FBI was partnering with Discord and other platforms. So he had to have been on the radar. You know, as far as the stuff that you've released goes, his communications with this Willie Tepes guy, I've found Willie Tepes's response. He's the account is linked to a Norwegian guy who's a member of the Nordic Resistance Movement, which is a neo-Nazi accelerationist group that was designated by the Biden administration as a foreign terror group in, I think, June 2024, which kind of ironically is the month before Crooks, you know, died. But he, according to a Google translation I ran, he kind of accuses Tucker of implicating him in Crooks' attack. And he says he has nothing to do with it. He says he wants change to be effected through democratic means. He disavowed violence. And he also accused Tucker of being a CIA agent who's just trying to get him in trouble. But unless the Google translation I read is incorrect, he didn't explicitly deny being the account that it was talking to Crooks back in 2020. So I would like to know more from this Willie Tepes guy. His full name is Bjorn Leafbrook or something. I can't pronounce it quite well, but you know, hopefully he'll actually come out and make more of the statement besides this one website.
Yeah, I think we need more answers, and I would actually love to give him a platform to kind of, you know, break and kind of tell us what's been going on. I mean, I think it was really interesting because, you know, initially it was that he was Antifa, and now we're hearing that that's not the case, that he was actually flagged, I believe it was, on an Antifa website, and that doesn't have any association politically with them. So, again, I would love some answers there. Obviously, if he was also in communications with the Crooks, I'd like to know if it was just public comments or possibly a private conversation that was also had, because I think that's really important for us to understand what was going on here. Again, this is all just kind of what we could draw from a very limited amount of resources that were being given, unfortunately, because we don't have a real transparent FBI. Ken, I'll let you sound off about that a little bit, because as you know, and I outlined to the audience, you know, we sat back and we were waiting for the FBI to come forward and give us some information on all of this. We thought new cast of characters, we're going to get some more transparency here. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. We have sat here and watched as they continue to go out here and deny things the last administration was denying as well. But sit back and watch what happened to Tucker Carlson. Tucker's been working on the story since September, and he's been vetting through a lot of it. And I didn't get it until Friday morning, last Friday. And so he had a lot more time with the material that was given to him to kind of go through it all. When he reached out to the FBI, I believe they told him something to the degree of, well, how do you know this is real, what you're talking about here? And it's such an absurd thing to say, given the fact that it's very easy to track. And Tucker's been doing that extensively, but the FBI would know if it's real or not. So they come out and they issue that type of comment to Tucker. And then magically, once we all start getting our hands, me and Miranda Devine get our hands on the same document that Tucker had, we all start to realize that, yeah, this looks real. This looks like it's associated with Crooks. Again, we can't say it indefinitely because these accounts have been deleted. But again, if they weren't, why would they be deleted? I mean, why would YouTube delete the account if it wasn't associated with Crooks? It seems like an admission, but we're very limited with what we could talk about here on that front. But yeah, I just kind of want to get your take, because now all of a sudden, Cash Patel's coming clean, the FBI director, and he's like, all right, maybe he has a couple of social media accounts, maybe he got them, but he's not telling us specifically which ones are Thomas Crooks. What do you make of this fake, transparent FBI that we have to deal with right now?
Yeah, well, it's hard to tell if it's actually just incompetence or intentional kind of corruption. I was going back at a little history of the new administration and its disclosures in this case, which they haven't made any public disclosures, but apparently they did give the Senate a briefing where they took them in Quantico in February, right as the new FBI, the new administration was taking power. From what I sense, they brought them to the lab. They showed him the rifle that Crooks used. They showed him those explosives that they found in the trunk. You know, kind of superficial evidence that really doesn't answer our questions about what motivated him. Was he on the Fed's radar? Who was he in touch? Like, these are the kind of questions that we're really trying to get at the heart at now. And then the Senate, they released a report in July further saying that after that one trip to Quantico, the FBI didn't release any more information and didn't answer any of like their written follow-up questions. So it's very disturbing. To the incompetence factor, you know, we have had a lot of new information thanks to the media, including an interview with Helen Comparatore, the wife of the firefighter who died. And she says that after the shooting, the FBI took her husband's cell phone and they held it and they just put it in a storage locker. And she only got it back, I think, in like May of this year. And it turns out that the FBI didn't even look at it, even though Corey was filming when he was tragically shot. So That just tells me that, you know, they really didn't put their best foot forward as far as this investigation goes. And then you have the statements from Cash Patel and Dan Bongino themselves, where they had that really awkward looking interview with Maria Bartiromo. And they said, we've been briefed on all the evidence. They don't say they actually looked at the case file or reviewed the evidence themselves. They said they were briefed. And I think that's when Kash Patel around that time also said, I don't know that there's more to know. So again, and then this latest response to Tucker, they continue to insist that Thomas Crooks acted alone. I think Kash Patel even said, oh, we'll give more information when the trial's done, which obviously there's no trial because Thomas Crooks is dead. I don't know if he was confusing that with Ryan Ruth or what his thought process was. But again, that it, like, it's raises question, was this incompetence or corruption? They need to actually, well, Congress should probably have a hearing and drag them in front to answer these kind of questions.
Yeah, well, that's what one would think. I would love to hear some more information on this. And when they did bring Kash Patel forward to have his congressional hearing recently, there wasn't anything of substance really asked of the FBI director, and that was quite disappointing. It was mainly the focus of the Epstein stuff. But again, we want to know about these things. I think it's a distraction when you have the FBI director in front of you and they're not giving you the information that the American people want to see. We want to know more about all of this. And so, you know, we've got our eyes on focus in regards to all of this. Ken, I want to thank you for all the incredible work that you do, because you do an incredible job over at Headline USA. And I'm a fan of the work that you do, but also I'm happy to have you on our team, because, you know, as I'm trying to put stuff out there, and although I followed it, obviously, a lot of this, you followed it at just such a great level of detail. And so it's great to have you on to help us understand everything that's going on right now with Thomas Crooks. We'll probably have you on later again in this week, because there's just so much happening. So I look forward to having you back on the show. Again, folks, if you're not following Ken, I don't know what you're doing. You got to give him a follow on X. It's JD_cashless. So give him a follow. Ken Silva, thank you so much for joining me, Ken. I appreciate it as always.
My pleasure.
All right, folks, I usually don't do this, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because it's very, very important to put it in context. We got an exclusive for you, and I'm just getting the word in right now. So bear with me, because I reached out to TSA earlier today to understand specifically as to what happened to Elijah Schaefer and his producer. You may have seen the content that was posted on social media, on X specifically. Schaefer apparently was saying and showing a boarding pass that belonged to his producer, and it had the Quad S listed in the corner of that boarding pass. So I've reached out to TSA to understand specifically what's going on here, because he's claiming the FBI has now designated my personal security and operations manager of Riff TV as a national security threat. TSA telling me Elijah Schaefer is not a national security threat and has not been targeted with SSSS, the Quad S program, of course. His producer was simply a random selection that happens all the time to people through our system. He wasn't detained. He wasn't arrested. And it's also important to note that they're saying this is not the Quiet Skies program. They're adding that the Quad S program is just a slightly enhanced screening process that one would go through just randomly. So make whatever you want of it. You know, we get both sides of it. I always reach out to TSA for their comments, as well as Elijah Schaefer has come on this platform, has been on Alex's show and has outlined his claims. So that is both sides of it. TSA denying that he has been added to any type of national security list as a threat, his producer as well. They are just saying that this was just random. So take what you want from that. Folks, we got a lot more to unpack throughout the show today. Don't go anywhere. There's more on the American Journal. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because we're giving away a free $10 credit that will be applied to your order at checkout. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. No minimum required. And you get entered in a race to get a free Jeep, potentially.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, they go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. As many of you guys know on this program, we do our very best to be fair and balanced. We cover both sides of the story. And one of those sides right now is in regards to claims that were made by Elijah Schaefer. As many of you guys know, he is one of the individuals who does Riff TV. And he recently came out. He's being sued right now by Kash Patel's girlfriend. Alex has had him on the show several times, and they've outlined the claims that they're currently making. But most importantly right now, there were claims that were made that him and his producer were added to the Quad S program. Now, I reached out to TSA because based on what I've covered, the Quad S program is supposed to be not in existence anymore. I've learned that the Quiet Skies program itself is not in existence, but TSA telling me that there is an additional security measure that sometimes that they still do. It's just random. And so that's why you see those four S's on the corner of his boarding pass. But specifically, we just outlined to you that TSA tells me that Elijah Schaefer is not a security threat and was not targeted with the Quad S. His producer was simply a random selection that happens all the time to people through our system. He wasn't detained. He wasn't arrested. Trisha McLaughlin, who I loved pieces because she has just been an incredible, incredible spokeswoman for DHS. Very responsive and helpful when you do have questions. She also responded to Elijah Schaefer moments ago saying no one from DHS threatened you. Your producer boarding pass included a random selection for extra screening just like thousands of other Americans daily. There was no secondary screening and absolutely no arrests. So there you have it. TSA responding, DHS responding to Eliza Schaefer's claims. And we'll continue to follow it as it develops, of course. All right, folks, a lot happening, though, right now. The internet's down for a lot of you. Twitter has not been working. ChatGPT not working. Citizen Free Press not working. A lot not working right now. Cloudflare, it looks like, is still down. I'm keeping my eye on it because I hope it comes back. We're not streaming live on X today, though. If you're listening audio only, head on over to our Rumble page, The American Journal with Brianna Morello. It's the only one with the green check mark. That's how you know you're watching live, of course, and it belongs to us. I am in the chat. I'm watching what you guys are saying. You better be nice. You better be nice. And if you're not nice, guess what? I'll respond to you for not being nice. But we're keeping your eye right now on the chat. So many great people are in the chat right now. Shout out to Ed. Ed, obviously one of our very loyal viewers. He is in the chat as well as Sonia Labosco and so many others right now. So make sure you head on over there to our Rumble page and drop a comment. All right, folks, let's talk about some of the important stories that you may have missed earlier today. I want to talk about Donald Trump. Yesterday, he held a summit for McDonald's owners. No, seriously, that happened yesterday at the White House. He's very passionate about his McDonald's. Just don't tell RFK Jr. because he will not like it. But yes, oh, we even got a little dance in. We got a little dance in. Yesterday, he highlighted how he is trying his very best to make McDonald's great again. It is his mission right now to do just that. He outlined it. He's doing his best to try to combat a lot of the expenses that McDonald's owners have had to face over these last few years. And we've got clip one for you that we want to play because it is Donald Trump specifically outlining why McDonald's has become so expensive over these last 4 or 5 years. Take a listen.
But Joe Biden's prices and his hikes cost a typical American family an estimated $33,000 and hit your workers and your customers and your small businesses very, very hard. The Biden administration started the affordability crisis, and my administration is ending it. I'm ending it. Prices are way down. If you just look, so we don't have, as I said, the inflation, but our energy prices are way down. And, you know, despite hamburgers being a big business, energy is one business that's bigger. When you get energy down, everything else is affected. If you start bringing the price of gas, that's like a massive tax cut. And they were selling, you know, they were having gasoline at $4.75 a gallon and $4.50, $3.50, $3.75. We're very much, we're going to be able, it looks like we're going to be able to hit $2 a gallon in the not too distant future. But let's say we're $2.50, $2.70. Other than places like California, that's not fair because they put so high a tax on that you're really paying a lot of that price is the tax that you're paying to government, which is horrible, actually, what they do. The price of gasoline and the price of energy is way down. So when energy comes down, you make the donuts, you make the chicken, you make whatever you're making. Everything is all about energy. You have to deliver it. You have the trucks. You have the fuel. When energy comes down and it's come down fast, we had an expression, drill, baby, drill. And I drilled, baby, drilled, I tell you, we drill. And last month it was announced we produced more oil and gas than any time in the history of our country by far. And when you do that, everything comes down. You don't even have to look at the numbers. And it's all beautifully coming down. And as per your chief executive and your chairman and everybody else, they tell me the prices at McDonald's are coming down. It's moving down. Unfortunately, they were so high in the last administration that people aren't that happy because it was so high. So even though it's coming down and coming down a lot, they want to see where it was, like when I was president. And we'll be getting it very close to that number, maybe even better, depending on what we do with energy. But the energy is coming way down.
All right. So that's the president speaking about McDonald's prices. That is a big priority for the guy who has rapidly been promoted as the kind of fries who the guy running the White House these days. As many of you guys know, President Trump, a big, big fan of McDonald's. And so he's going to do his very best to bring down the food costs over at Mickey D's. He's also launched an investigation into those the DOJ has into the beef prices, and a very incredible woman is now going to be leading in. Well, she's going to be leading the investigation over at the Antitrust Division. So we look forward to following what they find as to why beef prices are so expensive. And according to experts, they're saying the prices are still going to keep going up. We don't know why, though, although we have some, we could speculate a little bit here and there. All right, let's shift gears a little bit to Jeffrey Epstein, because people can't stop talking about Jeffrey Epstein these days, mainly because Democrats are trying their very best to use these victims as their political prop right now. Unfortunately, so many Democrats have decided that this is the battle that they're going to now start fighting against the White House with. And they've done just that. Now, when asked all the time, you know, like, why when Joe Biden was occupying the White House, why didn't you guys release anything on Epstein then? They never seem to answer the question. But Senator Chuck Schumer, they caught him in a really weak moment because apparently he can't hear anymore. He was asked in clip two by a reporter as to why was Joe Biden never asked to release the Epstein files? And surprise, surprise, well, he didn't really understand what he was being asked, I guess. Take a listen.
Senator, on that note, just I guess a question that's out there. Why wouldn't they have been released the last 4 years when President Biden was in office?
Well, that's the question every American is asking. Not every American, but so many Americans are asking. What the hell is he hiding? Why doesn't he want them released?
What the hell is he hiding? Why doesn't he want them released? Yeah, the question every American is, in fact, asking, you fool. Joe Biden did nothing in regards to Epstein, and now that it's politically convenient for Democrats to launch their politically motivated attack at the expense of sex crime victims, well, then they've done just that. They've done just that. President Trump, though, he has been very defensive over the matter. As many of you guys know, I don't like it when he refers to it as a hoax, but what he's really trying to refer to, and just needs to do a little bit better phrasing, he's referring to it as a Democrat hoax in regards to, well, why? Why all of a sudden now are they interested in this? Because they have been the ones who have been communicating privately with Jeffrey Epstein. We know that, especially members of Congress. They had no problem but to text Epstein directly back in 2019, so it wasn't that long ago. So again, folks, we want to talk about just that. Take a listen to clip three as President Trump continues to defend his stance on the Epstein documents. But folks, he's also saying that, yeah, I actually support us making those records public at this point. So just bring him on. Let's do it. Take a listen.
Here's what I want. We have nothing to do with Epstein. The Democrats do. All of his friends were Democrats. You look at this Reid Hoffman, you look at Larry Summers, Bill Clinton, they went to his island all the time, and many others are all Democrats. All I want is I want for people to recognize the great job that I've done. I believe that many of the people that we, some of the people that we mentioned are being looked at very seriously for their relationship to Jeffrey Epstein, but they were with him all the time. I wasn't at all. And we'll see what happens. I'm for any, I don't, they can do whatever they want. We'll give them everything. Sure I would. Let the Senate look at it. Let anybody look at it. But don't talk about it too much, because honestly, I don't want to take it away from us. It's really a Democrat problem. The Democrats were Epstein's friends, all of them. And it's a hoax. The whole thing is a hoax. And I don't want to take it away from really the greatness of what the Republican Party has accomplished over the last period of time.
All right. So President Trump wants to keep the focus on his accomplishments, obviously, at the White House. And so just release everything. Let's do it. Well, might actually get a vote today in the House on the Epstein files, whether or not they will be released. We look forward to seeing just that. Again, we've been waiting. We've been waiting for far too long for this, and it's really truly infuriating to sit back and to watch Democrats pretend like, now's the time to release these documents. Where were you all these years? Now, we're keeping our eye in regards to what's happening in the House as we wait for that vote. Let's just take a listen in, because this is the vote right now, potentially, for the Epstein files and the Transparency Act. Let's listen in.
AI literacy and education guidelines, we can lead with clarity, govern with integrity, and ensure the innovative breakthroughs AI brings can continue serving the public good. Mr. Speaker, 3 months ago, I shared the story of Benjamin Guerrero Cruz, a senior at Reseda High School who was detained by ICE while walking his dog. Benjamin is an older brother, a loving son, and a valued member of the community. He is a child. For the past 3 months, Benjamin has been in ICE detention at the Adelanto Detention Facility. ICE has been forcing his family to live a nightmare. Benjamin was transferred between two states and three detention facilities in 24 hours without his family knowing. If that was happening to Benjamin, imagine who else it's happening to. That is why I introduced the Inform Act. My bill holds ICE accountable for the nightmare they are forcing families like Benjamin's to live through. Many immigrant families in my district do not know the whereabouts of their loved ones after they are detained by ICE. I have been urging ICE leadership to answer for their chaotic, inconsistent, and cruel decision-making processes that have torn apart families across the country. My bill respects the dignity of immigrant families and promotes government transparency. I will continue showing up to detention facilities and working with my...
There's nothing like using sex crime victims to platform yourself to push for the illegal aliens who've been invading our country for quite some time with a sympathetic story. Yeah, and forget about those who have been sexually assaulted along the way as well. I mean, it's just like, hey, lady, we're here for something else. We're here for something else. So we'll bring it to you when someone with a pulse makes their way to the microphone, to that podium to speak. But in the meantime, I want to bring you to clip four, because James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, he is out here going after Democrats for doing what you just saw there, using this opportunity instead of helping these sexual assault survivors out. Instead, they're using it for their own political gain. And Comer is calling it out. Take a listen.
What do Democrats think they are going to get out of this that would, in their view, compromise this White House?
They have no idea, Laura. They care about the victims. They don't care about providing justice for the victims or giving the American people the truth. They only care about one thing, and that's trying to embarrass Donald Trump. They hope and pray there's something in these documents that will embarrass Trump. I've subpoenaed the estate. We've produced over 65,000 pages of documents, and there's nothing in there about Donald Trump that hadn't already been disclosed, that President Trump hasn't already explained. All we find are new problems with Democrats like Stacey Plaskett and Hakeem Jeffries.
Shame on them, of course, but not surprising. Not surprising. They don't really care for victims. Instead, they only care about themselves. It's all about how can we use this as a political opportunity to advance ourselves, our political agenda. And that's what's going on here. Oh, you know, some good news is finally coming from all of this. Finally, someone is embarrassed by all of the latest document dump. Larry Summers, remember him? Larry Summers is somebody who has been accused for many years of having a very close personal relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, they all deny it, but guess what? We got emails. Now he's deeply ashamed and he's going into hiding. The ex-Treasury Secretary and Harvard professor Larry Summers announced on Monday that his plans to step back after the public viewed emails between him and the pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. The former Clinton Obama administrative official had exchanged emails and text messages with the disgraced financier well after his 2008 guilty plea, which obviously, as many of you know, that was based in Florida. That's when everyone knew he was a pedophile. And, you know, he was still texting him. Epstein's July 2019 arrest on federal child sex trafficking. Of course, many of you guys are familiar with that. But Larry Summers coming out and saying, I am deeply ashamed of my actions and recognize the pain they have caused. Well, he probably just should have stopped texting a pedophile. Probably should have stopped that. The 70-year-old professor is going to continue on teaching over at Harvard, though. Not too embarrassed to stop himself from doing that. But of course, Summers joked with women, or with Epstein, about women apparently having a lower IQ than men and being less intelligent. Those were some of the messages that came about. So again, they love to sit there and shift and point blame at President Trump and others. But they don't want to talk about their own personal relationships with the convicted pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. Apparently, in one of the emails, he also wrote, this is Summers, do the Russians have stuff on Trump? today was appalling, even by his standards. Summers even asked Epstein if Trump was a cocaine user a month before the president defeated Hillary Clinton. So they were all trying to dig up dirt by using Jeffrey Epstein. Obviously, nothing lasted. These scumbags. Tried their very best to use Epstein because they all knew he was a pedophile. They all knew he had dirt. And so what does one person do when you are in politics? Well, you obviously, you're a political hack who doesn't actually care about sex crime victims. You leech on to a convicted pedophile because, well, you know he's got the dirt on a lot of important people. And that's what you see. That's what you see here. So again, I've always called for the release of everything regarding Jeffrey Epstein, obviously, with being respectful of the victims in all of this. But these people only do when it's politically convenient, when they want to go after President Trump, as you see here, as you see Summers trying to get some type of dirt on Trump. These people are scum. Absolute scum. I want to talk about how CNN is lying about President Trump. They do it every day, constantly every day. But this one's a little bit more of a laughable moment here because they're trying to claim that President Trump only promised to deport the most severe illegal aliens. They missed the whole part where he was campaigning and saying that he wants mass deportations and he will carry through if reelected, obviously. They missed all of that. Now CNN, in clip five, you're going to hear how CNN is out here trying to drum up this brand new narrative. All of a sudden now CNN is saying, oh, he didn't say mass deportations. He was only going to get rid of the worst of the worst. Take a listen.
To Jackie's point, it's not going to slow down. No. Stephen Miller, Kristi Noem, they are calling on ICE to be even more aggressive. They want to get more deportations. They want to see these numbers go even higher. So they're only going to increase these tactics. There's no sign that they're backing down.
What the president had said is we're going to get the criminals out of the country. And what the people who work for him have said is we don't care if they have actually committed crimes here. They see the crime, which it technically is, of being in the U.S. without being a citizen, illegally.
And I think
not just without being a citizen.
Well, and I think what we've heard from voters is they really did believe the president when he said that the criminals were the ones that were being targeted, not their next door neighbor who had been in the country for 20 years, et cetera, et cetera. But that's what's happening. And I think you saw in some of these off-year elections, you saw the beginning of this repercussion. And I think there's a lot of reasons for Republicans to be concerned, as both of you have pointed out, going into these midterms.
Yeah. And remember what they said at the beginning of this administration? People were all asking them, the administration, who are they going to deport first? How are you going to carry out the largest deportation effort in American history? And they kept saying, the violent criminals will get out first. Yep. That's what we're going to do.
Hey, listen, plot twist. When you illegally enter the United States of America, you commit a crime. Therefore, you are a criminal. Therefore, you are deported because you committed a crime. That's what Americans voted for. As many of you guys know, I can't stop talking about it. Plano, Texas is being invaded. It was actively being invaded under the Biden regime, but we're seeing more and more evidence of just that. Take a look at this story, because I actually got the alert. There was a woman who was hit over the head with a hammer. I believe this was on Friday morning as well. We're going through all of the other stuff, but I waited and waited to see what the name was of the suspects. They made an arrest. The suspect had like five last names, so I just automatically reach out to DHS once I see that. And I asked DHS, hey, is this guy an illegal alien? Well, we learned that in fact he is. The suspect involved, allegedly, his first name is Sergio, 17 years old, apparently hit this woman as she's jogging through Bob Woodruff Park on Thursday afternoon, 5 p.m., sun's still up. He apparently hit this woman over the head with a hammer repeatedly, according to reports, while she was just jogging at the park. Plano police responded. The woman was jogging again. The unknown man struck her with a hammer at least twice. She apparently fought back, and he fled the scene. Now, according to police, her injuries were non-life-threatening, thank God. But police said that he brought duct tape. I wonder what he was looking to do with duct tape. 17 years old, and this is what he's doing. And in case you're wondering, of course, he had a criminal record. We know just that because, well, police have shared that information. Again, he had a duct tape and other items with him that are not being disclosed at this time. Now, again, he fled the scene. He was quickly arrested 4 hours later. And just to put this in perspective, now he's charged with aggravated kidnapping with bodily injury and first degree, which is a first degree felony. And ISIS placed a detainer on him since we've reached out. But here's my concern with all of this. Joe Biden, when he was originally arrested, apparently he was also arrested back in 2024 over an allegation of robbery. He was detained by ICE and then he was released because, well, the Biden administration thought it was best to release him. So thank God this woman is okay and she is alive and she is going to survive. But the level of trauma that she probably experienced after being hit in the head with a hammer by a man who was just there, probably trying to either sexually assault her or murder her, we can only assume now. The level of trauma is just going to take years and years and years for this woman to have to figure out and to go through and to try to figure out how do you live life after that. It's absolutely gut-wrenching, again, folks, that this keeps happening. Also, in case you missed it, there was a terrorist, alleged terrorist, who was arrested by ICE as well. Same day. This individual is accused by his own government of being a terrorist. Apparently, we gave him a CDL license. He was found in Kansas, according to DHS. And he was wanted since 2022 for distributing terrorism propaganda, calling for jihad online, and recruiting terrorists to join his jihad movement. Good thing we gave him a CDL. So this guy could drive around. I can't even pronounce that name if you paid me to. I'll say my joke, but I usually have to spare myself of that joke because some people don't find it funny. But folks, this is the kind of garbage that has been imported into this country by the Biden regime, and nobody's vetted it. Nobody. But now the Biden administration, obviously, now that they're gone, the Trump administration has to go out there and do the grabbing of these people. No surprise there. Folks, don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. We're going to be covering the genocide in Nigeria. As many of you guys know, it's been a horrific genocide going on for many, many years. The White House now putting a light on it. So don't go anywhere. We've got more to discuss in just a few moments.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Thank you.